This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want you to know that the mothership has...
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Happy Target Demo Friday, everybody. Thanks so much for spending it with us. We want to know what you're up to this weekend and what you're up to today. So, on both Twitter and on Facebook, let us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing either today or this weekend. And I'll read through those coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. Again, about 40 minutes from now, we'll hear from you guys at a Target Demo Friday. Twitter, DA on CBS. On Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDAShow. Our next guest was a 7-year veteran running back in the NFL. He's an analyst now on the NFL. Joining us here on the show is Fozzie Whitaker. Fozzie, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great, man. How's everything on your end?
Doing great. I appreciate the time this morning. And look, we're all hoping that we've got NFL coming up this fall, but there's some sense that there's a disconnect between the players and the owners and how much practice time and whether they should have preseason games. Right now, there's no first or fourth preseason games, but still 2 preseason games on the docket. Do you think that's smart, or do you think that the league should go no preseason games and just work on conditioning for that month?
You know, from what I probably personally would do, is probably go no preseason games, and I say that just because I don't think the country as a whole is, I know especially in the state of Texas, where I'm currently living now, we do not have a hold on how the coronavirus is going to play out, and we continue to have spiking numbers in places that have high occupancy. So Florida, Texas, Arizona, kind of, we're going in the wrong direction as far as what we're trying to do with the coronavirus. And I don't think by the time the first preseason game gets here that that'll be something that's sorted out by then. And I think if it's unsafe for the players to be able to play in that type of environment or atmosphere, then I don't think that should be risking that type of putting that type of risk on themselves and their families just for 2 preseason games.
Yeah, I think that seems like one of the reasonable concerns is going from 0 to 60 and playing games after no off-season regimen, something that was kind of looked at back in 2011 after the lockout over the course of the summer. How dangerous do you think that it would be if you go the entire off-season and don't have really full-on training like minicamps and OTAs and then try to play football games against competition, say, in week 2 of the preseason? How dangerous would that be?
Now, that's definitely very dangerous, because the only way that I was taught in order to be conditioned for football is to actually play football. It is extremely hard to replicate the type of conditioning, the type of speed that you have to run at, the amount of cuts that you have to do, the physical impacts that you take each and every play. It's extremely hard to replicate that if you're not actually doing that on a weekly basis. So from that perspective, it would be a tremendous ordeal trying to, you know, undertake that task, being able to fight against not being able to practice how you would regularly prepare for a season and then getting thrown right into the fire. So that's something that the executives probably are considering at the time, and something that the players need to be extremely conditioned on, and just making sure that they're taking care of themselves, because at the end of the day, that's kind of how it works. You got to be a pro about the situation and try to handle as much as you can handle and control, obviously, while still staying safe.
Fozzie Whitaker joins us this morning here on the show, former NFL running back. You were also a standout at UT at Texas. And let's talk about the safety of a college kid, because Matt Leiner, Urban Meyer, and some others have said you can't play college football in the spring because there's too much duress on a young person's body if you try to turn around and play in the fall the same year. So pushing this year's college football season to the spring and then also trying to play in the fall next year. What do you think about that idea? And do you think that's a smart idea or a terrible one?
You know, if both seasons are not shortened or have some sort of abbreviated stint to how they would look, I think it would be extremely hard to have two full seasons in the spring and then in the fall, especially the bigger D1 schools that have been making it to the college playoffs and then playing in the national championship game. That's an additional 2 to 3 weeks that they're preparing to play football. And we know at the end of the day, I think their record, or LSU's record, might have been 15 wins or so. But yeah, Playing 14, 15 games for the spring season and then trying to backdoor and play another 14 and 15 games in the fall season, that I definitely think would be overkill. And I don't think it would be a smart use of time for these college athletes to try to play a football season for 2020 and 2021.
For NFL players, what is the priority after a season without any offseason, without an offseason, without OTAs, minicamps, what have you? What is the biggest priority if there were not games? Is it simply conditioning? Is it timing? Is it working within an offense or a defense? What do you have to work on most if it's not actually playing the games against competition?
It's definitely safety, number one. It's kind of how I look at it. It's just because we kind of have never been in this situation. I know in 2011 it was similar as far as not being able to play and then coming back to play. But from just a global standpoint, obviously you always want to consider safety as the number one issue. But along with the coronavirus safety also entails that people are conditioned. So there were a couple of people that I talked to that was part of the 2011 lockout years that really stressed the importance of conditioning, number one. And like I said, it's really hard to condition your body to be able to be in football shape without playing football. But trying to replicate as much of a football game or a football practice as you can. And then number two, speaking with some of the coaches as well, they were saying you have to try to get some sort of impact in. So getting hit, hitting somebody, obviously in a safe manner, without putting yourself at risk, are two of the things that I understand from what coaches and players that were part of that 2011 lockout kind of stress and emphasize now, because it's kind of a similar situation as far as not being able to play. And then whenever the time does come to play, they'll probably have to go full tilt within a matter of a couple of weeks. So that is definitely the main concern, is the safety overall, getting conditioned, and then obviously trying to get some sort of impact with the amount of hits that you'll be taking once live reps come.
Former NFL running back Fozzie Whitaker joining us this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. on the field. There was an interesting poll done from players, executives, opposing coaches about the best players in football. And while Ezekiel Elliott ranked as one of the top three running backs in football, according to this anonymous poll, one coach ranked him as low as 11th in the league and said he's just not the same running back as he was. Now, maybe that's because of the holdout. Maybe that's because, as you know, the running back position, there are so much duress put on a body. But when you see Ezekiel Elliott last year, did you see a flashback to his earlier seasons, or did you think it was a lesser version of Zeke after the holdout?
You know, I think I still saw the same Zeke. I think injuries do take a toll on the body as well. And sometimes the injuries that are not seen visibly to the naked eye, they may still affect people in a certain way. But I think Zeke is just fine. I definitely think he's way higher than 11 as far as running backs in the league. And I believe he's proven that as well. But at the same time, you know, each and every year you got to go out and prove your worth. And that's kind of how the NFL takes that approach. Each team typically takes that approach is, hey, we're paying you this much. You need to produce this much in order for basically that payment to be valid from our end. Otherwise, we're going to have to try to cut ties or find a way to get some of that money back and move on. So I think Zeke is still in a great position. Obviously, his offensive line has been tremendous up to this point, and there's been some key changes on there. But I think it's something that Dallas is prepared for, and I think Zeke will be just fine whenever football season resumes.
Well, that brings us to a different running back, Raheem Mostert, who was a backup slash special teams guy for a couple of seasons and then got his chance late last year with the Niners and really splashed. And then in the postseason was phenomenal, ran for over 200 yards in the NFC title game and became the go-to guy for the Niners. Now, he wants a contract renegotiation. His agent wants more money. The Niners are saying, no thanks, we're going to keep you the same way. And he says, well, then trade me. And you know that position. You know, so many coaches or executives feel like they can find the next Raheem Mostert. So what do you think about that situation with Raheem wanting to get more money because he outkicked, if you will, his contract last year, but an organization saying, yeah, but you got to show it to us more than that because, you know, this was just a late season surge.
Yeah, I'll look at it as you got to strike the iron while it's hot. And with Mostert, he had an incredible postseason run right at the end of the season for the 49ers, became that go-to guy like you mentioned earlier. And I think whenever you're in his position, starting to become a little bit older as far as a running back, you haven't really had the same opportunities that you've kind of wanted to as a starter. Whenever you create the most impact for a team and you kind of have your name circulating as one of the hot backs or up-and-coming backs at the moment, you definitely have to ask for as much money as you can because we know that running back position is very brutal. It can become overlooked. Adrian Peterson kind of alluded to the fact that the amount of money put into it is allowing the position to die and how coaches are – and management are trying to find the next Mostert on a cheaper price. Obviously, we know everything is about money, so if their 49ers aren't comfortable with it, they'll find a way to get them out of there and bring somebody else in that they think can produce as well or better than Mostert on a cheaper price. But from his standpoint, man, I completely agree with him, man. While you're hot and at the top of your game, you got to try to ask the most money because you may not get this opportunity again to be able to be in the same position where you have a little bit of leverage because of what you have done in the past year or the things that you've been able to provide the team. And it's not like he's asking for a Christian McCaffrey contract. So there is a difference in what he's asking for. He just feels that his worth should be valued a little bit more than what his current contract is. So I completely agree with him. Without him last year, you know, that 49ers team would not have been the same in the postseason. So I think he definitely is going down the right path. Will he actually get an upgrade in his salary? I don't know, but I applaud him for going out, having the courage to ask for it because this time may not come again for him in his career.
Former NFL running back Fozzie Whitaker, former UT standout as well, joining us this morning here on the show. Before I let you go, I saw on your Instagram not too long ago a good day of catfishing, which is always a tremendous afternoon. I'm going to do some fishing myself this weekend. So how were they biting that day, and how was the catfish fry later that night?
So we didn't have the catfish fry yet. So my buddy that I went out with, he's a really good friend of ours and also a fishing guide. So he's kind of the catfish whisperer and the bass whisperer out here in Austin, Texas. But they were biting very hard. We started the morning off very slow. We went to a couple spots that he had already kind of scoped out and planned for us to go. And we only caught like two catfish early in the morning. And we were like, man, we got to try to find where they're at. And it's funny because we were on the water and there was a big storm that was coming on the lake. And we literally pulled into a set of docks that actually weren't even like full or busy. And the storm just came down, rain all over the place. And we were like, well, while we're waiting the rain out to go to our next spot, we're going to throw in right here at the docks and just see what's around us. We ended up catching 15 catfish on the
docks. Oh, my goodness.
While we waited for the rain to pass. So
wow.
I would say that was a good use of stopping and understanding, hey, don't try to press through this storm. Let's just stay safe and see what's around us. And it turned out to be a pretty good decision to be able to stay there and fish a little bit. And we were using chicken liver. That's kind of my go-to out here in Texas, chicken liver for the catfish. And it seems like it's a catfish magnet to them, and they love it. So we had a good time, and it seemed like right on cue, whenever the rain stopped, you know, they kind of stopped biting. And so we were like, man, we had a great day. Let's go ahead and go home. So we filleted them up and got them in the freezer. And my buddy, the fishing guide, Ray, he has a new, like, fish fryer that's coming in that we're waiting on.
Nice.
To actually do all the big fish fry. So caught 19 total. I would say that it was a very good day.
I would say so. So I like this also as a metaphor for sports. Stay within yourself. Stay within the offense. Don't try to do too much. Just see where you're at. Take what the defense gives you. It was raining. Exactly. Don't push through the storm. Drop the line in there. Catch yourself some catfish.
Right. Hit payday. Doing what you know best.
Yeah. Move the chains, Foz. Just move the chains.
Right. You got to be methodical about it. That's
right.
It. Slow
That's exactly right. Yeah. You can follow Fozzie Whitaker on Twitter at Fozzie Witt. You can also do the same thing on Instagram at Fozzie Witt. Former NFL running back Fozzie Whitaker joining us this morning on the show. Fozzie, good stuff this morning, man. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. You too, DA. And make sure you reel them all in, man. I want to see what you caught.
I'll try, buddy. I'll try. I appreciate you, man. Fozzie
all
Whitaker
right,
joining
good.
Us. You too, this morning on the show. Excellent. When we come back here on the show, a second MLS team sent home from the MLS's back tournament. Will they be able to get this entire tournament off and executed and finished? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
The main thing is, the main thing is playing the game. It's kind of like a tongue twister. All right, appreciate you, DA.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The DA Show, available every single day on your phone, either in podcast form. Just find your favorite podcast platform and search The DA Show. Also streaming using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. Or you can watch us on your phone as well, watchda.com, or inside the radio.com app. It is time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. This is from Chris in Dallas. DA, I know you were talking about my FC Dallas going home from the MLS's back tournament. Now it looks like Nashville's being sent home as well. No soup for them. Do you think MLS is going to be able to get this whole tournament played? Well, I've hesitated on saying anything in definitive form about reaction to the virus over the course of this because I learned a lesson. I think that we all learned a lesson very early. We don't know. We just don't know. I mean, what we're experiencing today, you could not have known in March when it first hit. And what will happen in September, we can't know today in July. But I'll say this. NASCAR has given us a blueprint. They've been back longest here stateside. And the blueprint for them has been lots of precautions, but once you're into the swing of things, business as usual as much as you can, and if somebody tests positive, you immediately remove them from the equation. Now, we don't know what's going on in terms of positive tests so much with crew members and garages. That's because they don't have to give us that information. That's a private enterprise. That's not an injury report. We would only really know when drivers test positive, but that doesn't mean that there haven't been positive tests in the garages. But NASCAR has handled this really, really well. And so this is the blueprint for the rest of our leagues. And what MLS is doing is they're taking two problem children, if you will, and immediately evacuating them from the premises. Dallas, Nashville, you go. He gone. And if you've by and large have a healthy rest of your player population, I think this can be done. Now, is there any way to prevent complete isolation or somebody wandering across the parking lot to the rest of Disney World or the wide world of sports or somewhere else in Orlando when people are going to be invited back? There's going to be limited access by regular everyday Joes going to Disney World, and a way to prevent every one of your players and staffers inside the quote-unquote bubble from ever having any touch or feel or connection or interaction with anybody else? No, it's not realistic. But look, I don't want to compare us to the Bundesliga in Germany or the Premier League in the UK because those two countries have handled their business way better than we have. The fact is, we're just not doing well at this. We're just not. We just have not done well at this test. But those two leagues have been able to play plenty of games, traveled, gone outside of bubbles, not even had bubbles, and not had players test positive to where it disrupted their season. So, can be done. It will be done by somebody. It depends on which league is going to get this right. Is it going to be smarter to have your players in a bubble like the NBA and MLS are trying to do? Will it be smarter to allow them to travel like Major League Baseball is attempting? Will it be better to have two hub cities where you can try to control half the league and half the league like the NHL started to do? We'll see. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the results. But remember, you also don't need all 26 teams to finish this MLS tournament. It's a World Cup style. So out of 26 teams, two are gone. That leaves you with 24. If you get through the group stage and then suddenly there might be an outbreak for a team that is going home anyway, not a big deal. If you can limit it, you're sending teams home anyway, not that big a deal. You only need two at the end left standing to finish the tournament. I think they'll get that. They've got to try to navigate these waters over the next month. They just got to get to early August. And early August will be upon us before you know it. Summer, even in summer, a pandemic and shutdown goes by in the blink of an eye. So they only got to get to early August. I think they'll do it. I think they'll finish, even though they've already sent two teams home because of outbreaks on those rosters. Standing by with our headline this morning is our good friend and kind sir, Andrew Bogish. The big news of the day, the Big Ten yesterday saying no non-conference games, so just a conference football schedule for the time being for the Big Ten. AB, good morning.
DA, good morning. All these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. So call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. And yes, if there is college football this fall, the Big Ten will only play Big Ten games. Yesterday's decision applies to all fall sports. Staying amongst themselves gives the Big Ten more flexibility to reschedule games if necessary. It also gives them more control over testing protocols. But without non-conference games, we don't get Ohio State at Oregon, Michigan at Washington, or Miami at Michigan State. The SEC had already scheduled a meeting for Monday. All 14 ADs expected at league headquarters in Birmingham. Notre Dame AD Jack Swarbrick said yesterday it's getting, quote, less likely the season starts on time, and the NCAA saying only that it supports all its members as they make these important decisions. The Washington Post has a new major detail about conversations between FedEx and Dan Snyder about his football team's name. The Post says the shipping company quietly told Snyder it would remove all its signage from the stadium if no name change happened by next season.
Wow.
Don't forget, it is called FedEx Field, so that missing signage would have been very, very noticeable. San Francisco Giants catcher Buster Posey has been MIA for the last 3 days. The team says he is dealing with personal matters. Posey got to camp on time last weekend, but expressed doubts about playing during the pandemic.
You can't expect a batter to come up and wear a mask or a catcher to wear a mask during the game. You know, it's a bad habit, but a lot of us as baseball players are used to spitting as well. And I think that's going to be an issue, right? So I think there's going to have to be an effort to try your best not to do that as well, because unfortunately it's second nature a lot of times.
That second baseman Robinson Cano has also missed the last few days without an explanation. On a much lighter note, we have Angels third baseman Anthony Rendon weighing in on using artificial crowd noise during games. DA, you and I don't mind. Apparently Mr. Rendon does. He said yesterday, quote, "It's like you have two of your senses that aren't coinciding with one another. It's like you're looking at a pizza, but you're smelling a hamburger.
Oh.
You hear noise, but you know no one's in the stands. You don't see anybody. I think it's dumb. I'd rather listen to music." Now, that's really a Sean question to be asked, looking at pizza, smelling hamburger. But
no!
A very deep thought there from Anthony Rendon about artificial crowd noise.
That really does put it into pretty good context for the rest of us idiots of what it would be like to try to hit a 100-mile-per-hour fastball with piped-in crowd noise. But he'd rather listen to music, so he's saying, like, play a playlist of music during the entirety of the game?
I guess keep that walk-up music going. I don't know. But I also was confused because I thought this crowd noise was a TV effect. Like, only we heard it. Like, it wasn't in the stadium. So is baseball going to do this differently? Are they going to have a soundtrack in their stadiums so even the players think that there's people around? Because that I could see being annoying. But he can't hear what we see, what we hear on the soccer matches right now.
Exactly right. So what's happening is in soccer, the TV broadcasters are piping it in to the telecasts, but the players don't hear it. In baseball, at least at Wrigley and maybe some other stadiums as well, they are considering piping in crowd noise to the stadium. Now, that is a weirder effect because then the players are hearing crowd noise but not seeing anybody. But also at the same time, I kind of have to challenge Anthony Rendon on this because when he plays baseball normally, everything we ever hear is we tune out the crowd. We don't listen to the crowd. When I'm at the plate, I don't hear anything. And now he's telling us that hearing the crowd is really distracting. I mean, I get it's disorienting to run out onto a field to hear crowd noise and see an empty stadium. I understand that. Any of us would understand that. But if all these guys are so locked in at every at-bat, why would they care whatever is being played across the sound speakers?
Yeah, and if I had to guess too, having obviously not lived it, I feel like I would get used to the fake crowd noise much easier than used to the empty stadium noises. Like the echoing and the random voices and hearing like a seat move, like that stuff would never go away. I feel like the soundtrack portion of it would just be kind of come second nature and I would never hear it. But I would, to me, I would always, or at least longer, hear the echo, hear the emptiness of the stadium.
I agree with that. And I also think that in baseball, it's not going to be some rollicking NFL crazy cheer to the middle of your at-bat. If they do this properly, which I would imagine that they would, it's kind of like that low baseball murmur that you hear when you're at a ball game. Nobody randomly in the middle of an at-bat goes absolutely crazy, you know, and it's totally distracting as the pitch is coming in. It's that low, quiet murmur, and then when the ball is hit or there is a strikeout, everybody then kind of cheers. So it's weird to think that a baseball soundtrack out of all soundtracks would be somehow distracting. And I don't know, it's like white noise. Most people like white noise as a comfort. That's what I kind of feel like a baseball soundtrack would be anyway.
That's baseball.
Yes, it is, Susan. Switching to basketball, not only are the Nets signing Jamal Crawford, they're also bringing Michael Beasley with them to Orlando. Outsiders like this need to test negative, by the way, for 6 consecutive days before they're allowed to join their teammates. Beasley, at least, is already actually in Orlando going through that protocol. Once he clears it, he has to serve a 5-game suspension for a drug policy violation from the spring, so the Nets won't have him until seeding game number 6.
Come on, man.
And then however long they last in round 1 against the Bucks.
I mean, that's hysterical. So you're signing a guy that you could only get for 3 games potentially?
Well, 3 plus 4. I forget, is round 1 4 out of 7 or 3 out of 5? I don't remember what they settled on.
Yeah, it's 4 out of 7, but I mean, there's no guarantee that they would make the playoffs, right?
I mean, there's no guarantee, but they've got a cushion on the Wizards, and the Wizards are just as banged up as the Nets are, okay, and haven't signed Jamal Crawford or Michael Beasley, so I think the Nets are going to get in, okay, as the 8th seed, then lose to Milwaukee. So I'm counting round 1 on the Beasley ledger, but still, you're signing a guy who you don't have for the first 5 games that you're down there.
So Michael Beasley will play in 3 games that the Nets could win and then 4 games that they'll get absolutely destroyed and mauled by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Exactly.
So he will he will play in a total of 7 games and they will probably go 1-6 in those games that they've signed Michael Beasley.
Let me do my best J.J. Devaney impersonation and run down the Champions League draw from this morning. It's all going to finish next month in Portugal. The draw for the Final 8 was held this morning, although we don't know the full Final 8. So there's a handful of matches still to be played to finish the previous round. We could end up with a Bayern-Barcelona big-time quarterfinal. The 2 quarters that are locked in right now, Roast Beef Leipzig facing Atletico Madrid and PSG against Atalanta.
Not having
it. Apparently is the trendy pick, according to JJ, but I just love the name. Atalanta is my new favorite soccer name.
Atalanta. It is not Atlanta here in Georgia. It is Atalanta.
And there's an extra A in there.
And if you told Mraz it was Roast Beef Leipzig, he would absolutely believe this. Remember,
no!
He thought RB Leipzig, which is Red Bull Leipzig, was RB sponsored by Arby's, like we have the meats. So
and soccer.
No.
And then we learned from your research that Arby's is named RB's for roast beef, which I had no idea about.
Yeah, and did I not offer an official retraction of that after the fact? Because
you did not. Was that incorrect?
Yes and no. There is actually RB is the something brothers, Rafael brothers, who were involved in the beginning of this company. So RB became, their initials became Arby's. But I guess they let the roast beef theory live for a really long time. that's where how they got from roast beef to RB to Arby's. But it really was from like some family name, our brothers became RB, became Arby's. So
that's solid cooking,
like,
where I'm coming
92%
from.
92% wrong.
Can I tell you that I'm so happy we're ending off this work week talking about the roast beef theory and calling RB Leipzig roast beef Leipzig. That really makes me very happy.
Quit out of cabin, man. It's solid food.
last thing from me, a cool decision here from Wimbledon. You'll remember, we just did this on the show. They got millions of dollars back when they canceled this year's event because they somehow had for years been paying for pandemic insurance. So they cashed out tens of millions of dollars. Now that they've had that cash, they have decided to pay players some prize money based on who would have played at the All England Club last month, I should say. So the 256 men and women that would have been in the singles draw based on their world ranking at the time are now each getting £25,000 from Wimbledon. Less money for qualifiers, less money for doubles, and you can't double dip. If you were playing singles and doubles, you can only take your singles payout, which is obviously is the higher one. But again, didn't have to do it, had the money because someone had the foresight to buy pandemic insurance, and instead of keeping it all to themselves, they're giving it back to some of the players.
Breaking news on the board of Wimbledon, Biff Tannen, who has the sports almanac, knew the pandemic was coming.
Come on, man.
When we come back here on the DA Show, it's a Target Demo Friday. Come on, man. This is CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target Demo are up to.
All right, we begin with Mike, who tweets in, I once bungee jumped after three pitchers of beer to try to face my fear of heights. 200 feet, I saw my house across town. Absolutely terrifying, made my fear of heights worse. I'm with AB, no roller coaster guy here. Yikes. Chef Scott tweets, DA, I'm enjoying the show. Makes my hour commute bearable. I'm listening in Florida near the Panhandle, a.k.a. Lower Alabama. You know, the epicenter of tourism and the pandemic currently. Kaz is in Wisco. DA, getting through my 8 hours in the laboratory today. Then I'm on to the doubleheader race weekend at Road America here in Wisco. Social distancing, watching IndyCar Series top competitors. Hell yeah!
Happy being alive day.
Daniel tweets, I'm in Connecticut, listening on Sirius XM 206, waiting for my trailer to be loaded, hoping to get out of the area before the tropical storm makes everything a little wet, a little drippy. Beam me up out of here, DA. Rob the 321 tweets, DA, my wife bought a 2020 Honda Passport. She wasn't even out of the lot, and she had named it Gertie, as in Gertrude. Lord help me, hashtag name that car.
My 2015 Subaru Forester. May I present Princess Leia.
Manny from PA, listing on the iHeartRadio app, finishing an install, adding air conditioning to a veteran's beach house today in Mount Gretna, I believe you pronounce it, Pennsylvania. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Nice job there, Manny.
I do love kielbasa.
Randy tweets, here at work as a funeral director, listing on the radio.com app. Spending the weekend helping my brother-in-law move. Hashtag zap zap. Joe on Facebook is in Indianapolis, listening on WXNT 1430 AM, watching the IndyCar doubleheader this weekend as well. Still pulling for Little Mo. That guy's a true hero. No doubt about it, Joe. Little Mo is the man. He is my hero. He's an inspiration. And I love talking about him here on the show, and I love hearing from him here on the show as well. Justin writes on Facebook, I'm in Savannah, listening on the CBS Sports app. I'll be watching some sprint car racing at Dirt Vision. Thank you, CBS Sports, for showing them last weekend. Have a great weekend to all of the D-Aliens.
Yeah.
Wade is in Pendleton, Oregon, listening to the podcast after the show. Hey, DA, can we sound the Viking horn? I'm getting married this weekend.
Voila.
Congratulations, Wade. Have at it, man. Have a great weekend. One of my buddies is terrified of getting married. His girlfriend is putting the press on him for the engagement. I said, look at it this way. It's the only time in your life you will ever have everybody ever in your life that you care about come to see you. It's the only time it ever happens. Forget reunions. Forget birthdays, graduations. It's the only time you get everybody, unless you're in the casket. So the only time you're ever alive and you get everybody you care about actually in the same place for you, just enjoy it, throw a good party, have a good time.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Daryl's in Southeast Kansas working on construction equipment, listening on radio.com all weekend. Going to seek and devour some Boulevard wheat, mow the yard, and practice baseball with the boys.
Quit out of cabin, man. It's solid food.
Sounds like a great weekend, Daryl. And finally, Jermaine writes on Facebook, I'm in Virginia, listening on radio.com. Going for a hike this week and enjoying some cold ones. Fozzie Whitaker is right about skipping the early games this year. If NASCAR can go without practice, the NFL can do the same in the preseason.
M. Night Shyamalan did it again, man.
That is your Target Demo Friday. Excellent. And some excellent, excellent drops in there as well. Connor Green on the Wheels of Steel throwing in some good drops before the epic fail.
And they score!
Speaking of, here it is, your epic fail of the morning and your final of the week. Let's roll it.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And did you see that earlier this week, when they were talking about empty ballparks, AB, that our good friend Peter Schwartz actually tweeted, so what are they going to do with all the foul balls with nobody in the stand?
My son won the tickets. That's how we wound up going.
Did you see this?
Yeah, there's been, and once again, I don't see them on my own. Somebody sends them to me, but there has been another run of Schwartz tweets and posts and pictures. That was one of them.
We went to a rally on Thursday night, like a season opening rally.
Rob tweets, DA, I would put money on that Schwartz and Major League Baseball, he at mentioned them to release the schedule because he was planning their vacation because he wanted to know what city and where to go. This is his blood written all over it.
You don't know where I am.
Hashtag Schwartz conspiracy.
And you'll never see me coming.
Could you imagine your first thought this baseball season not being, wow, really cool that baseball's finally coming back. Can't wait to see the game. I wonder what it's going to look like without fans. Who's going to be the best team? A topsy-turvy season. What will 60 games look like? But instead going, who gets all the foul balls?
Bulls.
And tweeting this, hoping that you get an answer.
Bulls.
Mraz's brain is scrambled from years and years of sodium and buffalo chicken dip.
Chubby person.
But one thing that he is absolutely a soothsayer on and a good read is he believes and he has stated that Schwartz has an addiction.
Oh.
That this is no longer a hobby. This is no longer doing something nice for his kids. There is an addiction here.
This is really pathetic.
And when Schwartz tweets to the masses, hey, where'd all the foul balls go without these fans in attendance? He is absolutely trying to fill the addiction.
I had nothing to do with it.
This is a guy that has not been able to have a cigarette in 3 days, and now he's going, I gotta get my next drag. Who's got a cig?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Somehow, some way, Schwartz becomes part of this show every single morning. I don't know how it happens. I don't know why it happens, but it just happens.
Come on, man.
By the way, another tweet coming in for Target Demo Friday from Cigar City Capo. DA, I'm listening on radio.com in Tampa, aka Cigar City, grilling some steaks, watching some PBL. Forget crowd noise. I'm muting the TV and playing the DA show episodes I missed this week on Google Podcast. Hashtag beam me up. Now that's a good idea. Remember, you can always listen to any of the episodes in full or the best of the show every single day in podcast form. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts. You can go to Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, or anywhere else that you get your podcast. Search the DA show. And you'll get full episodes. You'll also get the best of episodes and the PGP. Thanks to the crew today for a great job. And what a great week this was. Connor Green, executive producer of the DA show and On the Wheels of Steel. Billy Giacalone, your associate producer today. Great job as well. Thanks to Andrew Bogish, your anchor on headlines all this week. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good. Be good to one another. Enjoy your weekend. I will see you on Monday morning. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.